Sie hören SBS German.
Am Telefon nun Dr. Caroline van Ham von der University of New South Wales in Sydney. Ich grüße Sie.
Hi, Christian.
Sie sind im Moment aber nicht in Australien, sondern in den Niederlanden.
Yes, that's correct. I'm a professor of politics in Radboud University, the Netherlands, and I'm also an associate researcher with UNSW Sydney.
Sie haben nun ein Forschungspapier veröffentlicht mit dem Titel How COVID-19 is Changing Democracy. Was haben Sie da festgestellt?
It's more than research. It's observations based on my research on democracy, or my expertise on democracy. So we are all political scientists are following the news media and what's happening around the world. And there's several developments that are interesting. So on the one hand, you see authoritarian regimes using this crisis to actually strengthen their control. We also see democracies that were already backsliding, accelerating their processes of backsliding. So Hungary, for example, where Orbán can now rule by decree indefinitely, and this has been voted upon in parliament. So de facto, Hungary is no longer a democracy, and it's in the heart of Europe. And we see in older democracies that are still relatively stable, we see a number of worrying trends, like increased surveillance, use of apps by the government to follow people, use of drones by police to control movements outside, that could potentially on the long term also harm democracy in those places.
Sie erwähnen ein extremes Beispiel wahrscheinlich, Ungarn. You're talking about an extreme example, Hungary. Es gibt aber bestimmt auch Beispiele, die uns viel näher liegen, sprich zum Beispiel die USA. Was stellen Sie da fest?
Yes, so the USA is incredibly interesting in the sense that it's of course a democracy. It's one of the oldest democracies in the world. And yet we see it has a leader at the moment that uses or seems to use sometimes somewhat authoritarian techniques to govern. So we see him being very much involved in information management, which is what authoritarian regimes would do, deflecting blame to China, to the states. He's actively engaging. So one of the brilliant moves that Trump took was to devolve responsibility for managing the crisis and managing the lockdown to the individual states, so that he can now actually fight against the states and claim that they are hurting the economy instead of him. And at the same time, you also see him taking the side of this, or strengthening his support base by taking the side of these protest groups that are now protesting against the lockdown, and they're actually using democratic vocabulary to protest against the lockdown. So they are defending their civil rights. And actually, they are defending their democratic rights, so this makes it problematic.
Aber um wieder auf Ungarn zurückzukommen, der Unterschied zu Orbán, dem dortigen Präsidenten, ist wohl, dass Trump eigentlich nicht mehr Macht hat, sondern dass diese Pandemie eigentlich ihm seine Grenzen zeigt. Stimmt das so?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And this is also why he's scrambling to maintain popular support. So this is why, for example, he chose to devolve responsibility to the states. This is why he's actively promoting conspiracy theories about the virus, promoting that China had a much bigger role in the virus in order to shift blame, right? Because the elections are coming up. At the same time, there are already discussions going on about what to do with the elections if the lockdown is still going on in November. And so if he succeeds in postponing the elections, this might actually strengthen his power, because he would then have to rule by decree as well.
Glauben Sie wirklich, dass es so weit kommen wird, dass die Amerikaner das zulassen werden?
No, I don't think so, but it's quite interesting that this discussion is now taking place all over Europe as well, whether or not to hold elections. So in the Netherlands, our elections are scheduled for March 2021, And already Parliament is debating what to do if what to do under circumstances of lockdown. Will we postpone the elections? Will we shift to postal ballots? That discussion has been had in the UK as well, and that discussion is being held in the US as well, whether to do it by postal balloting or not. And postal ballots have really big problems. It's very easy to rig an election with postal ballots. And of course, the trust in the electoral process in the US is already really low. So yes, if COVID continues, it's definitely going to be a challenge. I don't think they will very lightly move the election date.
Wie meinen Sie das? Man kann Briefwahlen einfach manipulieren?
Yes, so my research is on election fraud. So I've studied election fraud and rigging elections around the world. And while in established democracies, election fraud does not happen very widely, it's very rare. But we have research on Europe, for example, that shows that postal ballots, when you use postal ballots, you lose the secrecy of the vote. And this means that within families or within communities, people can get pressured into voting for a certain candidate. So research on postal balloting in the UK has found that especially among poorer migrant communities, a lot of voters actually don't vote according to how they would like to vote, but they vote because the community leader says they should vote that way or because they get something in return from the community leader. So that is why it's problematic. You can't control the secrecy of the vote.
Und stellen Sie da fest, dass es was eher Rechtsrutsch provoziert oder eher das Gegenteil, Linksrutsche?
If you use postal ballot, I think both can benefit. But if we relate it back to the US, the problem is that in the US has had a very specific debate actually already since the Bush period, since the Florida election controversy about voter fraud. And Trump has fueled this mistrust in election by claiming in the last elections, he claimed that the elections were rigged, that they were fraudulent, that there were all kinds of people that were not on the ballot or that voted that should not have been able to vote. Whereas this turned out not to be true. But by using postal ballots, you basically open a door for those kind of allegations. And if a large proportion of the population loses trust in the electoral process, that can be even more damaging than whether or not you actually have fraud.
Wir sprechen mit Dr. Caroline van Haan von der University of New South Wales, im Moment in den Niederlanden, weil sie forscht und doziert in beiden Ländern, in Holland also und auch hier in Australien. Sprechen wir doch über Australien. Orten Sie hier auch Probleme mit der Demokratie aufgrund von Covid-19?
I think Australia is a good example of an established democracy where actually the government has taken measures that can count on large support of the population. So overall, I think it seems what I'm hearing from Australian colleagues, things are going well. The only thing that I would notice in Australia, and that's comparable to countries like the Netherlands, is the naivety around using apps to track population health and population movement. So as we're moving out of lockdown, a lot of governments are trying to develop these kind of applications that can allow you to check who you've been in contact with. If you've been in contact with a person who has corona, you need to stay at home in order to contain the spread of the virus. And what the Australian government has done is that it's made the app voluntary, which means you're devolving the responsibility for the privacy of the data that you enter into that app to citizens, whereas that should be a job of the government. And so it's really, there's privacy risks there. It's unclear what happens with those data and how the government might want to use those data that are being gathered.
5 Millionen Australier, also ungefähr jeder Fünfte, hat diese App inzwischen heruntergeladen. Ob er sie benutzt, ist die andere Frage, weil man muss ja immer offen haben und oft macht man da den Swipe nach oben und dann verschwindet die App und man vergisst dann, dass sie nicht aktiviert ist. Sie persönlich würden die App, wenn Sie in Australien dann wieder sind, nicht herunterladen, verstehe ich das richtig? You personally, if you're back in Australia, you will not download the app, and if so, why?
Well, this is the problem. So I think if a government, it's totally understandable that in order to contain the spread of the virus, the government wants to use technology in this way, right? Which is fine. But it's the government's job to then develop an app and give very clear and strong guarantees of the privacy of the users. So if the government could give those guarantees that the privacy of the users is guaranteed, that my data will be deleted, for sure, I would use it. But the problem with saying it's voluntary means that they said it's voluntary, then thereby sort of relieving themselves of the need to take care of privacy concerns, which is the concern of the government, it should not be the individual responsibility of citizens. And the other problem by making it voluntary is, of course, that you create social pressure of citizens on other citizens, because if you then don't use it, you're not a good citizen in a way, which is something that I think should be avoided at all costs. So basically, the government should provide guarantees that these data are private, and then make it obligatory for everyone. That would be, in my view, that would be the right way to go. Just as an example, in the Netherlands, the government proposed this app, and society reacted with so much protest and so much critique, because very clearly this app was not safe, in a way. It was not safe to put your user data there, that they abandoned the entire idea. So even the effectiveness of such an app has not been demonstrated. So no, I wouldn't use it.
Was ist denn die Gefahr?
This is always a problem when you're talking about privacy and data tracking. So, and it's also a problem when we talk about large companies like Google and Apple. So Google, pretty much, unless you've disabled all these features on your smartphone, Google knows all the time where you are. I don't want my government knowing all the time where I am, where I'm going, what my movements are. And of course, if you have a democratic government, that's not a problem. But you're enabling a system whereby the government can follow your every movement. So if then in a certain election, a different government comes to power that might want to use this information for different purposes, or the current government might want to use this information for micro-targeting political advertisements, it's problematic. I just think that the government shouldn't have that kind of information about citizens.
Haben Sie auch Angst, dass die Privatwirtschaft Zugriff zu diesen Daten erhält, entweder durch legale oder illegale Mittel?
This I'm not so afraid of, but it's quite interesting that when it comes to the government developing an app like this, we are more critical about the privacy, and when it comes to large companies tracking our every movement, such as Google, we tend to be much less vigilant in a way. So I think governments are quite naive about the use of social media and how to properly regulate social media so as to protect citizens' privacy.
Letzte Frage, Dr. Van Ham. Was können wir dazu beitragen, dass Covid-19 in Australien, aber international eigentlich, eben nicht missbraucht wird, um die Demokratie zu gefährden und, wie Sie schreiben, strengthen the grip of authoritarian regimes on power? What can we do so this doesn't happen as citizens?
Yes, as citizens. I think, well, as citizens, of course, whatever happens in other countries is very hard to influence. But in your own country, I think it is good to be vigilant and to be attentive to what the government does, and also to protest every once in a while and to question the decisions that are being made. So, as an example, this app, when it comes, you know, when the government promotes an app like that, to ask questions about it, write your MP, ask them whether this is a good idea, ask them whether they've asked the government to guarantee privacy, etc. So citizens can have influence in multiple ways, but not taking everything the government does at face value is probably the best starting point.
Dr. Caroline van Ham, vielen Dank für dieses Interview.
Thank you, Christian.
Lust auf weitere Interviews und Geschichten? Uns gibt's auf allen großen Podcast-Plattformen wie Apple, Google und Spotify.